All right, hello and welcome to Monday Word of Mouth here on CKLN 88.1 FM. I am your host, Robin Nieto, here with Reggae Mania host Ron Nelson, who is sound engineering tonight. Well, we're going to start with the show. It's going to be about the G20. The G20 is come and gone. To, I think, most people, it meant one big traffic headache. To others, an unexpected holiday as workplaces downtown closed to avoid conflicts. And to a very small group of people, the G20 meant a $1 billion bonanza. That's how much this G20 summit cost Canadians. As expected, the media painted the G20 protesters as violent, despite a small showing with an overwhelming majority of peaceful demonstrators. The Toronto Sun's front page was splashed with the word thugs, in quotations, and the Star carried a full front page photo of a burning police car. Tonight, we will be taking your calls about your thoughts of the G20, the demonstrations, and media coverage. We especially want calls from people who were there, including journalists, during this weekend's demonstration. Our studio number here is 416-595-1655. And I'm hoping that we can receive your calls because this is one of the bigger public events for Torontonians. It affected all of downtown Toronto. There was at least, I would estimate, a couple of million people that were affected. I wouldn't say the same about the number of protesters that came out or the demonstration, but it did affect the city. So if you were there, if you were caught up in the situations, if you are a witness, if you have if you have an opinion as to what happened, our studio number here is 416-595-1655. That's 595-1655. Well, some of the measures taken by authorities include detaining hundreds of people in downtown Toronto at the intersection of Queen and Spadina, and holding them for 4 hours in the pouring rain. Many of them had nothing to do with the protest, but they were detained in any case. Our own host, regular host at Wednesday Word of Mouth, Daniel Libby, was one of those people detained. And hopefully he'll call in to tell us all about his experience being detained by the police in at Queen and Spadina for no apparent reason other than having been there. Another serious measure taken by the Ontario government was to give police unlimited powers of arrest during the G20 summit and after. Already more than 550 people have been arrested, with police entering people's homes to detain suspects. In one case that was reported in the Toronto Star, a young couple with a baby awoke with black-clad police troopers in their home. The man, husband, and father awoke with a police gun pointed at his face. The Ontario New Democrats have responded to the Ontario government's quiet suspension of civil liberties by calling for a public inquiry to examine all events for the past 72 hours and the planning leading up to the G20 summit. The Ontario NDP has stated that the inquiry must provide a formal mechanism for individual citizens to share their stories so that what happened in Toronto never happens again anywhere in Ontario or in Canada. A group called the Canadians Demanding a Public Inquiry, which has about 3,000 followers on Facebook, describes what they are demanding. A public inquiry is an official review ordered by government of important public events or issues. Its purpose is to establish the facts and causes of an event or issue and then to make recommendations to the government. All levels of government, federal, provincial, and territorial, have the power to call public inquiries. Several issues that have been raised this weekend: consultation with the City of Toronto and its citizens, security buildup, the fence, the treatment of Toronto's homeless, mass damage, no relief for shop owners, innocent people, and journalists detained, detainee conditions, and much more. This is from the group Canadians Demanding a Public Inquiry. They say this is something that police say we have never faced in Canada, in quotations, and this group agrees. They want to learn from this weekend instead of ignoring it, and they say that every story has many sides, but there is a truth, and they are saying that we should get as close to the truth as we can so that protesters, police, and politicians can answer to the weekend's events. Now, for those workers who are working downtown and who had an unexpected holiday, paid or unpaid, and it's particularly if you were unpaid, the Ontario NDP is calling on the federal government to offer direct compensation to the downtown Toronto businesses and their workers who suffered economic loss as a result of the G20 summit and any actions connected to it. So if you were a business owner, a worker, a person just walking down the street, if you were a demonstrator, if you were there during this G20 summit this past weekend, give us a call at 416-595-1655. Share with us your stories, which are now being sought after by the legislature, so that what happened during this weekend can be formally reported and something to be done about it, because what we were talking about is the lifting of civil liberties during the G20 summit. In the meantime, so the line is open, 416-595-1655. And while we wait for your calls, we will go to a production on Rabble Radio by Megan Perry. And she did an interview with Guardian reporter Jesse Rosenfeld. He was a reporter who was beaten by police during this G20 summit. So we're going to go to that segment in a minute. Again, this is by Megan Perry, Rabble Radio, on Rabble Podcast Network.
So before I start, I want to mention a couple people. First of all, my daughter Idella is here, and my grandson Leroy. And I want to... It's kind of hard for maybe a little guy that's three to understand what this is. So the way I want to explain it to you, Leroy, is that this is going to be like...
One of the many taken into custody was Jesse Rosenfeld. He's a writer for thedailynewsnuisance.com, a website focused on Israeli-Palestine issues, and this weekend he was writing for The Guardian newspaper. While he was doing that job, he was beaten and arrested by the G20 security forces. I reached him a few hours after he'd been released from detention. You were reporting for the Guardian newspaper when you were detained. What was your assignment with them?
Well, I've been working for Communist Free on a three-part series about the G8 and the G20, focused around the idea of flashpoints of empire and contesting democracy, and looking at comparing the sort of self-created legitimacy that the G8 and the G20 has, based in their own economic and political power, compared with the alternative to their economic vision of their global economic plan of the 20th wealthiest nation, with and political plan of the most powerful nations, to contrast that with the alternatives that were actually coming from the streets and the kinds of coalitions that were coming from the streets. So I'd already gotten out a piece about indigenous sovereignty that went online on Thursday. On Friday, I'm sorry. It was about the demonstration in the context of contesting sovereignty. At the demonstration on Thursday, and I was working on the piece about contesting the global economy when I was arrested, penned in at a demonstration in front of the Novotel Hotel on the Esplanade just south of Front Street.
Before that all happened, what was your impression of that crowd?
Well, it was really interesting. It's possibly one of the most interesting political moments that I've seen in Toronto. And I mean, I grew up in Toronto and left when I was 18.
Here I am, R-A-W, a terrorist. Here to bring trouble to phony and seize. I move on and seize. I just conquer and solve another rapper with ease. Cause I'm at my apex and others are below. Nothing but a milliliter. I'm a kilo, second to none. Make an MC try to step to me, cause I ain't the one. I believe rappers just like Tylenol, and they know it. So I don't see why you all try to front, perpetrating a stunt, when you know that I smoke you up like a blunt. I'm genuine like Gucci, raw like sushi. This age of rage is what rap did to me, to make me wanna create chaos and mayhem. Cold rock a party until the AM, I'll make a muscle, grab the mic and hustle. While you stand dazed and amazed, I'll bust a little rhyme with authority, superiority, and captivate the whole crowd's majority. The rhymes I use definitely amuse, better than Dynasty or Hill Street Blues. I'm sure to score and door for more without a floor, cause I get raw.
All right, so we had a longer interview about Jesse Rosenfeld, but that didn't come through. But we had a caller who called in who said that he had the most interesting story to tell about his experience at the G20. We also have Daniel Libby, who was present at the... he was detained himself for about 4 hours downtown in the pouring rain outside. So that caller who called, give us a call back at 416-595-1655. That's 595-1655. To tell us about your experience that you said is the most interesting story about what happened at the G20. And we will just put on some more of this music and wait for your call. I'm putting out this, I open up the line to anyone out there, not just this caller or Daniel Libby, but anyone out there who was at the G20, who witnessed, I'm particularly interested in what happened to that police car or the police cars that were put on fire. If you were there around that car, give us a call. Tell us what you saw. That would be very interesting, because remember, there is a public inquiry that is being called to every incident that happened during this G20 to get to the bottom of it. So right now we have a caller on the line, and we'll just go to the caller. Hello, caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Can you tell us about your experience at the G20 demonstrations?
I honestly think I have one of the most interesting stories of all about this whole deal on the weekend.
All right.
I heard on the radio, I was listening to it on following on CBC in the morning, and then I heard of this and heard that, and I'm not far from downtown. So there's a lot of feedback coming through the phone. So listen.
You have to bring down your volume. That's what Ron is saying. Bring down the volume of your radio if you can.
I have no radio on at all.
No. All right, we'll solve this problem, but go ahead and tell us your story.
Okay, and then I hopped on my bike and went right down to Bay and University, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those punks were really thinking about blowing up that car, and I rallied around them and started chanting them, because I was the only person down there chanting the protesters, those guys on the black hoods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really a gang. They're not really organized. They're just on Twitter fucking around with each other. And they're organized through Canada, Montreal, and Winnipeg, and they bust in a few people, but most of those are just street punks in Toronto that don't have any address, that don't pay any taxes. So I confronted them all and said, listen, leave our city alone. Get away. Move along. Hello?
Yep, I'm listening.
I said, get along. Move along. Go out. Leave our city alone. I was the only one. All of a sudden, there were 75 officers behind me with their batons and their shields and everything, and I didn't really know what they were going to do with me, because I was in sort of khaki clothes, khaki shorts, on my bike. They got behind me and started beating. The crowd took off. They all split. Then they went down University, right, and turned down on Queen Street and started to rampage up Queen Street. City of Toronto police should be condemned for not having at least a few officers on Yonge Street and a few other poignant areas downtown for flirt of attacks like that, because flirt of attacks is all it was, nothing organized whatsoever.
So you said the police was disorganized themselves.
Well, they were too busy doing what they were doing. They had so many guys coming in and out on the other side of town. All the forces were on the other side of town. There wasn't any police on Yonge Street whatsoever. There wasn't one officer. So I followed these guys. I followed them all the way up Yonge Street. They were smashing this, smashing that, and I had my CBC on my MP3 at the same time, listening to live coverage, because they were coming up from behind. And it was just a panic, honestly. I was the only person on the street going, go home, leave our city alone, don't smash anything. What are you guys doing? You have no cause. You have no justification. You don't even have any brains. You can't even spell revolution.
Right.
So you got to chant. You got to be on the right side of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree either with the G20, and I don't agree with those punks running up Yonge Street and all these guys just following along like, ho-ho, this is a big thing to do. We're Torontonian punks, and we're going to do it now. We don't want to see all this thing smashed and this and that. Well, that time turned for them as soon as they turned on College Street and were headed towards police headquarters, because that's where all the police were, just at police headquarters. There were none even out on College Street. That's a block away from the police station. One block away. There wasn't even any police. They rampaged, Tim Hortons rampaged a few other stores. My wife works in a store there, and it was all boarded up. They were safe. So you got to chant these protesters to the ground. Toronto's got to stand up to them. Toronto should have just swarmed the protesters and stopped them and pinned them right then and there from continuing. What's wrong with all the men on the street? Where have they gone? Where have they disappeared to?
All right, caller, thank you very much for your story. Appreciate that. All right, so there you have it. You have someone who is obviously critical about the protesters. If you have another opinion, if you were a demonstrator yourself and you want to talk about your experience. This is your chance. It's 416-595-1655 to talk about what happened at the G20 demonstration. If you were a member of someone who actually did have a cause and didn't get a chance to or wasn't interviewed by the media about why you were there, give us a call at 416-595-1655. If you were a journalist, independent or otherwise, and you were at the demonstration or at the G20 itself covering it as an official journalist, that would be okay as well. 416-595-1655. We're looking forward to your calls. We did have a production by Megan Perry for Rabble Radio on the Rabble Podcast Network, the incident of Jesse Rosenfeld. He is a reporter for The Guardian, and he fell victim to police beating, and we have an interview with him. But I think we do. I'm not sure, Ron. Do we have another call? All right. So we'll put on that song that we were just listening to a second ago, and we'll get back to the caller on the line. Just hold on with us for a second. We'll give you some music, give you some time, collect your thoughts, and give us a call here at CKLN 88.1 FM in downtown Toronto at Ryerson University. 416-595-1655.
I don't know how to keep it positive.
Rent your heart and not your garment. The truth is there for who of eyes to see. Partiality has no place in this judgment. Remember the words of prophecy. Children run, come to human rights. That's what we're about. You who know the human rights, run and tell it to the children. Run, come to human rights. That's what we're about. That they should know.
That they should know. So give me some truth and human rights, and give me some justice. Live this, we love this, we love this, we live.
That they should know.
Well, give me some truth and human rights, and give me some justice. Bastard and depressor, why you listen to the lyrics? Yeah. Well, give me some truth and human rights and give me some justice. Live this, we love this, we love this, we live this. Well, give me some truth and human rights and give me some justice. Master that they place, hey yo! Cause I'm a judge, a praiser, a ganja blazer, sharp like a razor, pervaser. With the fader and the equalizer, organizer, not no miser. The vibes rise, a freedom fighter, liberal stalker. I'm a stepper, what a proper, proper. Rasta dan da padans da da Lizzie father, I'm the teacher, not a preacher. Heavy reacher, and a weak reacher, and we feature reggae music blasting through your speaker, day tripper. Wings clipper, no shatter cam bada bada bada. Do the one know what that sugar sugar. Sweeter, sweeter, the girls love her, and I'm a smoother. Pick up to all the crew, we are the sooner, we are extra hard worker. Originator, real innovator. So come on.
All right, so on the line now we have Daniel Libby, who was an eyewitness, and he experienced firsthand what it was to be downtown and detained. Hello, Daniel.
Word up, Robin.
Daniel, welcome to Monday Word of Mouth.
Yeah.
And tell us all about your experience from the beginning to the end.
Well, it was quite a weekend. It was quite a weekend, Robin. I'd say, well, you know, yesterday was definitely a very interesting end for, an extreme week, extreme weekend with this G20 in and this Public Works Protection Act that's apparently being enforced. And, you know, they're saying the fences are going down. I know the leaders are already out of the country, or, yeah, you know, the rest of the G20 has wrapped up. But yesterday, it seemed like at least the major media was focusing on an event that I was at. I was at firsthand at Spadina and Queen when, you know, there was a few hundred people were sealed off in a intersection. And
why were they sealed off at Spadina and Queen? It seems a bit far from the, you know, from any action.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what happened. We were down at King and Bay. So we were right down where all the stuff had been smashed and the cars had been lit on fire on the day before, on Saturday, the violent day. But this was a peaceful day. And there was like a silent protest. There was like a religious protest going on. It was a really quiet one. They were just saying prayers and stuff and sitting around in a circle. And then there was another guy that was down there, Charlie Veach, who runs something on YouTube called The Love Police, or on the internet. And he's sort of like a surrealist comedian street activist. He runs around with a microphone and says some pretty funny stuff. And so there was a bit of a battle down there at Queen and Bay, or King and Bay, between the quieter religious protest was trying to get him to quiet down. But, you know, there's really a big crowd around this guy talking. So eventually the quiet protest walked away first, I think. And then you know, they brought in more of the riot cops, surrounded the whole area of King and Bay, and made everyone march north. And I guess this was after there had been a big bike protest that had wrapped up. So I think a few people had biked down, because I noticed there was people on bikes that had arrived. So maybe it was because there was getting bigger. So they made us march north, and we walked up to Queen Street, and then we were walking along where the City Hall is, and they kept on stopping. They kept on stopping the marching, the parade. And I guess it was because the streets had been opened before this happened. And, you know, so everyone's just peacefully marching, and a few people have megaphones, which I know is a sketchy thing, because I've even heard people on Saturday were being detained for speaking on things, a megaphone. But what was going on Sunday? I didn't see any violence. But, you know, so the march, basically, they were sealing off areas. So they were, like directing where people could march from King and Bay. So we got all the way to Queen and Spadina, and then it's like the march really slowed down, and then the most unruly or extreme form of protest that happened at Queen and Spadina that I saw was about 10, maybe 15 people sat down on the ground in the intersection. That's the most extreme. That's why I'm surprised at how many reports I'm seeing in like the words in the media that there had been like violence going on yesterday, because I didn't see anything like that. I didn't see anybody in masks. But what I did see was a lot more cops surrounding areas, even more than I'd seen on Saturday. Just to back up for a bit, when I got there on Sunday, before I went down to King and Bay, I actually went to Yonge and Dundas, and I saw there was cops on every corner, like groups of 20. There was at least 100, like just riot cops holding down Yonge and Dundas, and I guess I could see why that would happen with what happened on Yonge Street the day before. But that's what I kept on wondering, you know, where were these guys on Saturday,
right?
On Yonge Street. But anyways, these guys definitely showed up at Queen and Spadina, because it was within like, you know, 10, no, probably like 15 minutes of it was just like it slowed down right around Queen and Spadina, and it was enough time for a few buses. That's how all these riot cops, a lot of them had, like, different kind of emblems on their crest. You know, they were, like, Sudbury, York Region. There's every, you know, police force in Ontario seemed to have officers in riot gear there. And they were moving around the city in, like, rented vans with a police sign on the side. Some of them were even just had budget budget, like, rental van. Like, it was a real rental van.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they had, like, buses, like Greyhound bus size buses. So they brought in one of those with, like, 100 or two of those, you know, a few hundred of these riot cops got off and sealed off the north side. See, the south side of Queen and Spadina was always sealed off when I got there, and so was the west side. But then they sealed off basically the east side and the north side at the same time, as the same time that they're telling us we have to go. We can't just be they're like, you can't, you got to move or you'll be arrested.
Wow.
And then people are just like, move
where?
There's nowhere to go. There's
right.
No they had blocked all exits.
Yeah.
And I actually just uploaded a clip of this on YouTube. It's called G20 Toronto, There Is No Exit. And it just shows how they seal, how all four sides were sealed off. There was no way to leave. So this is how the craziness of, and, you know, there is some truth getting out, I think, in the media, that a large portion of the people in this weren't even there for the protest. They were local residents walking by, or people that were down there to, like, I guess some of the people had been taking pictures. There was a lot of, like, people taking pictures, but, you know, there definitely wasn't that many cameras out when it started pouring rain. That was about an hour. That was an hour after they had detained us. Then it started, you know, pouring. So it did that. They had to stand out there for almost 3 hours. And randomly they'd be pulling a few people out of the protest. And then it also seemed like people that would, like, voice their opinion or, you know, get, aggressive way of speaking towards the cops would be arrested. And then there was all these rumors around that were like, we're all being detained, we're all going to be arrested. And then there was another, they were saying that everyone's going to be processed one by one. And, you know, that's, so I think that's why it took them so long, because it was one by one. And then also, I think... Well, okay, this is sort of how it wrapped up, was the one announcement that came. This is after it had been, like, torrential downpour rain. It was sort of like a drizzle. It was still raining. And, like, one guy just says something. He doesn't even have a loudspeaker. So there was no, you know, like, if you check out the Pittsburgh G20 clips from the one in 2009 in Pittsburgh, they had, like, loudspeakers going on, like, announcing that the people had to evacuate or leave the area or else they'll be arrested. There was nothing like that. There was no announcement. There was no loudspeaker. So this guy doesn't even have a microphone or a megaphone. He's just, like, yelling as loud as he can in the rain to this pen that had gotten smaller. When it started to rain, they allowed people with children to leave, and they allowed, like, elderly, frail people to leave. And a few people had medical problems. They had to show their health card, and they were allowed to leave. And everyone else was, like, forced to stay there. And they, you know, it kept on getting smaller, and they, like, had us at the McDonald's, which was, you know, that's where another reason why I think this was sort of a setup as a media spectacle. And, you know, that was the one long shot that they kept showing live, is like just the McDonald's signs right in square in the middle. And the helicopters had been hovering over before, but then they sort of stopped in the rain. And, you know, I had to put away my camera because it was raining so much. But, you know, there wasn't really much to get just because it was mostly just standing there. There wasn't even chanting. The only thing I saw that was close to a protest sign was like a cloth one, but the people, I couldn't read what it said because the people were using it to block the rain. Luckily, I brought a raincoat. A lot of people didn't have anything. I had an umbrella too, and I gave it to two ladies that were standing beside me who didn't have anything. It was pretty crazy because there was no explanation when they said we could leave. They said, When the guy made this announcement that he yelled out, he goes, this is the only announcement he made, or there's two announcements. The first one, he's like, you guys, I know you guys are angry, you guys are irritated out here, you guys are wet and you guys are cold, you guys could get hypothermia, so because of this, we're going to bring TTC buses that you can sit in, and we will process you all in the TTC buses. And then about 10 minutes later, and I could see the buses have been already parked up the street for like 10 to 15 minutes before he made this announcement, and they're empty buses. And then he comes back and he makes another announcement, and this one he makes further away, so I didn't even understand. I didn't get all of it, but I'm pretty sure it was so short that there was no explanation as to why. But he just goes, everyone can leave if you walk north, and anyone who stays will be arrested. So I was like in the last group, apparently, that was like left for processing, because I was on the far side, closer to like the McDonald's wall, was like the last people in that they just allowed to leave without any, without their processing. And I'm not even sure what their processing is. Involved a total search of everything you had, and then I guess ask you some questions, ID. I'm not sure if they were fingerprinting people, but they were. I've definitely saw them put in the you know, like, not, they're not handcuffs, they're like those plastic twist tie things. And some of these people like definitely didn't look like they were there for a protest, or that, you know, that any kind of people that I'd see at a protest. You know, it was crazy.
So they actually did process a lot of these people.
Yeah, and that's, wow, as we were walking by, after it had ended, and I'm passing by those TTC buses that he had spoken of, there's a few people I could tell their arms are behind their back, so I'm sure they were cuffed in the buses, and then there's a lot of the riot cops sitting in the buses, like they're out of the rain already. So I figured that was one of the reasons they let us all go, is because they didn't even have enough buses to fit everyone in that they had penned around, because they had a bunch, so many people like already detained.
So they didn't,
you know, that's crazy. They're talking about hundreds they've detained, right?
Yes.
The whole weekend.
But they didn't say, you know, you were all here because of something, something? Like, what did you do?
No, I didn't find out about this until I went to the girl's house who lived like a few blocks away, literally a few blocks away. And she told the cops this a bunch of times, the girls that I lent my umbrella to. And then we were watching like clips on, we were reading stuff on the news, on the internet and stuff. You know, that's when we found out that there had been two. Okay, this is what we found out, that they said that there was two other protests marching towards the Queen and Spadina intersection, one from the west and one from the east, and that they were. That's why they sealed it off, was because they were worried that that it would grow into a huge protest with these other protests coming towards it. I didn't see. I definitely saw that they were sealing off the other side of Queen Street, but I didn't see the protest. I have seen one clip already, though, on YouTube. It's a pretty crazy clip. It's like, I guess it was from the people that had been marching from the east end of Queen Street towards where we're all penned off, and they're like singing "O Canada," and then right after the song ends, "O Canada," it's just like the riot cops charge them.
That's right. Running. I saw that.
Yeah, you've seen
YouTube.
That one.
Right.
That shows that they can run. That's the whole thing I was thinking about on Saturday, was like, how did this all happen? And I'm like, well, it's probably just because, like, why were all of these riot cops just standing there while all this stuff's being smashed? And I'm like, well, it's probably just because they can't run. Like, the Black Bloc can move so fast if they're running around.
Right.
But the cops are like, with all this gear, they can't run. But these guys could run in that clip, right?
Yeah, they ran fast.
They're running.
Yep.
But not only that, they had these platoons or troops of bike patrol. They're dressed all in black with like a red armband, biking around. There would be those guys biking around. And then I told you about as well about the vans, the police vans.
Yeah.
So they definitely had modes of transportation. So I am a bit skeptical at all this stuff. Like, not as extreme as the caller that called in before.
Yeah. Who's very upset about the Black Bloc, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm upset about the Black Bloc, but I'm also upset at the police. And I've got a clip up, the clip I posted yesterday on YouTube, and it got on. It's got close to 6,000 views now, and it's me showing as I was walking up University. I was walking up University. I didn't know. I walked up Queen Street in the aftermath of the Black Bloc had just smashed everything, and then I walked up University. So I didn't know they're like running up Yonge Street or anything. The stuff that happened at where there's like a car on fire. Right. So I found out from some like old guy biked by saying right. he's listening on the radio. He's like, I was listening to my radio. I heard there's a car on fire. And I'm like, right. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
And then I start walking up University.
Yeah.
And then I see as the Black Bloc guys are walking towards Queen's Park.
Right.
And this is right before, this is like 15 to 20 minutes before they shut down the whole Queen's Park, which I had known as the free speech zone. I know the chief of police is saying it wasn't a free speech zone. But I know the media originally called it the free speech zone, and that's what I always thought Queen's Park would be like, a free speech zone.
Right.
But it was totally closed down after these so-called Black Bloc tactics.
Right.
So I'm walking up University, and south of college, as I'm walking up, like a row of like 12 to 15 of those vans, police vans, pull up, each of them with like four like riot cops or like two riot cops. Into them. Some of them might have even had more because they were bigger vans. And across the street, there's just like one lone van sitting there. That's the clip I got. And then it's like as a Black Bloc passes, the van's getting smashed, and those guys are still parked across the street.
Not doing anything.
Yeah, and yeah. then the Black Bloc disperses. They smash yeah. this one lone van across the street.
Yeah.
And then it takes, yeah, it still takes them like 10 to 15 minutes. And then the whole park is totally surrounded. And from the north, this is the extreme part, because on the March Friday was a interesting march, and I started figuring out some of the ways that the police moved these protests, because they were doing stuff where they were blocking us in, but they would leave one street like to go, and it was the north one. I remember on the one on Friday. This one on Saturday was the first time I had seen the cops coming from the north side, that they were forcing people to go further south, you know, which was pretty extreme. But I guess it's because they surrounded the entire park.
Right.
You know, which sucked. It, like, basically, that the kind of the Black Bloc tactic or whatever the vandalism, whatever you can say about it, definitely, like, destroyed the peaceful protest on Saturday.
So this whole thing about the so-called Black Bloc, I mean, mm-hmm. don't, and this is where I want to get your take on it. You are suspicious. A lot of people who I've talked to who have been around for years, for the mm-hmm. last 15 years or 20 years when it comes to protest, are very skeptical mm-hmm. about what happened during you know, in terms of the violence, in terms of the burning police cars,
yeah,
in terms
exactly.
of this so-called Black Bloc group. Which really no one that I know knows, right?
No.
They don't know them. You don't know them, and people I know do not know them.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, have you talked to other folks and what they feel about what happened during the protest and in terms of suspicious activity when it came to these vandal acts and mm-hmm. that
for sure.
that these vandals were actually never really caught? You know?
Well, okay, that's the question, because we don't know who is caught and we don't know what the charges are, because apparently under this Public Protection Act or whatever this emergency powers are that's going on, they don't have to reveal the charge or whatever. You know, that's why all these numbers are, nobody knows the actual number. I'm hearing, you know, as you know, I'm hearing a few hundred up to like 900, right? There's nobody actually knows how many. I know there's a huge march going on right now, that had just left from the police station, that is, you know, the peaceful protesters are out trying to get justice for the people that have been locked up, because there definitely was not 900 people in Black Bloc doing this stuff. So a lot of these people weren't, that are locked up right now in this Guantanamo studio, are not Black Bloc. You know, and then, well, I call it Guantanamo Studio because that's what Charlie Veach described it as, the guy from the Love Police that told me about it, because he had been detained there on Thursday for not showing his ID. He called it, there's a Guantanamo setup with individual cages on the ground in a huge studio room. Back to your question, though, about these, the Black Bloc, like, people, a lot of people think, and this is my suspicion, too, is that the Black Bloc was, they allowed them to do it, to destroy the stuff. And that's even quoted, I think, from the in the police, official police words, is that they thought that they're too violent or it's too dangerous, so they let them do the stuff. But then it was also used the way that it was used was that the whole rest of Saturday they cracked down hard, and they cracked down even harder on Sunday. That's probably why they were so uptight on Sunday,
right?
Because of all the stuff that happened Saturday. But it really, you know, it ended the peaceful protest. They definitely made a statement, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure what it'll do, except for, you know, the bad publicity of it.
Yeah, no, the special powers that the police have taken, or let's not say the police, let's say the government of Ontario, who's given them this power, because it is the government of Ontario who did do this through the legislature,
who granted it and did it very
quietly, so that no one knew that it happened. I do believe that their powers are actually still in effect. And I don't know when that law will be rescinded, but I hear that it will be rescinded sometime in early July, like the first week of July or something. I'm not sure if it's over. So arrests could continue.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm nervous about going down to these protests. The one going on today, because I found out about it about an hour ago, but I was like, you know, it would have been a good, interesting protest to go to, because they're saying that that Naomi Klein was going to do a speech, and you know, different activists are going to speak about all these people that are still locked up in this film studio. But I'm a bit too nervous now. But the way that because they know the Press for Truth guys for sure, and the Press for Truth guys, well, we interviewed them on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and they're doing. I was helping them out with some video stuff, and we were walking back to one of the guys' place who lives close to the fences, and you know, we're passing by groups of cops, and they know. The Dan Dix, the main guy of Press for Truth, they're like saying hi to him.
I know what you mean. Like it's tough to find the right words, but this is why there's a group calling for a public inquiry. Actually, the Toronto Star is calling for a public inquiry. Their editorial board is calling for a public inquiry because there are too many questions left unanswered.
Yeah,
too many incidents that, you know, everyone, you know, we're all suspicious as to what happened, because these types of things, let's say a burning police cruiser in Toronto. I've been here now in Toronto since 1970. I've never seen one police cruiser burned by anyone ever. No one in the right mind in Toronto would get close to a cop for about 100 meters. Generally, even during peacetime when there's no demonstrations, do we want to be near the police? Because we know they have special powers with or without the government approval. And in this case, we have a burning cruisers. Like these types of things, which we have no answers for, because no one's been arrested for the burning of these cars. So we don't know what's happening. The police don't have to give us any information because they have these special powers. So this is, what do you think about the call for the public inquiry that's now being done by the Toronto?
I agree that it must be done, because, you know, I got a call. I knew the crackdown happened after this, because I got a call Saturday night from one of my friends in the Toronto Truth Seekers who is in a wheelchair, who said that they smashed his wheelchair at around 10 p.m. And they arrested another guy in Toronto Truth Seekers for speaking on a megaphone. This is at Queen and Church, apparently. So, you know, not even that close to the security zone. They were, you know, that's how extreme they got. They got into an extreme crackdown after the Black Bloc was allowed to take off their black stuff, because there was a huge pile of black garments in University Avenue or University or Queen's Park when they shut down the free speech zone. So I'm sure some of the people were able to get away, but then I know there was people arrested while they were doing that, because there's even videos of the horse trampling you can see of that when they sealed off Queen's Park. They were taking it, you know, really far, and that's why I'm a bit nervous about going to more of these protests, because I know they know me. And after I'm posting this one clip that they got that's been seen, you know, by 6,000 people, and I know even the police are watching them too, it sort of makes them look bad if it's and that's why I think a lot of people are giving it the thumbs up sign, is because it's trying to show the truth about how this happened, that the officers are actually sitting in vans across the street.
Yeah. So what's your clip
and
called
I'm sure
again?
They were ordered to do that.
For the listeners.
And that's why I'm afraid, yeah, that they're... It cracked down on me, but I can't, yeah, you know, you can't really be afraid in this.
Well, this is why the public inquiry right now is being called by the NDP, the Ontario NDP, and by the Toronto Star. So this is both the media and the provincial legislature are calling for a public inquiry, so that this fear that individuals have, people who are witnesses, people who are victims, and a lot of misunderstanding doesn't have to happen. Because the public inquiry is asking for witnesses and asking for every individual who was affected by what happened during the demonstrations, wants to hear their stories and make this a legal situation, so that no one is intimidated not to speak. No one is intimidated because they were present and because they took video and because they were practicing their civil liberties.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. And my final word is that. My take on the whole thing was that it was a psychological operation, you know, Hollywood style. When I see the thing like when I heard about the Guantanamo studio, and then I thought the main purpose of that pendant for hours and hours was to have the media focus on that, and only trying to find out what the major announcement was from the secret G20 meeting, and finding that there was not really no major announcement, I've gotten more convinced that, yeah, they were just trying to do a distraction at the end of the meeting, you know. Because what really is the G20 agenda? They're going to cut deficit spending in the 2013?
and for the security, for that one statement, we paid $1 billion.
All yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, so now we're coming to the end of the show. Daniel, really want to thank you
telling
us.
I'm sorry for taking up the
No, no, it's
line,
good.
We got to open it up on Wednesday.
On
too.
Wednesday, we'll open it up again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Exactly. All right.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks. All right, peace.
All right, that was Daniel Libby. He is the host of Wednesday Word of Mouth here on CKLN, and he was detained at Queen and Spadina for about 4 hours during the police roundup. So... We're coming to the end of this show. You know, if you're listening and you were a part of this and you don't want to come on the air and talk about your story because of the fear or worries or intimidation you might feel, rightly so, because right now our civil liberties have been suspended, that law being passed by the Ontario government and should be rescinded at some point, which it's not at this point. So totally agreed. If you want to produce something, do something in YouTube. Do something on YouTube. Make it anonymous. Put your stuff on YouTube. We can download that stuff here on the air, and you don't have to put your name on it. Just get your footage out there as much as possible. So this was Monday Word of Mouth, and I want to thank Ron Nelson, who is engineering, and take care and tune in again for every Word of Mouth every day of the week at 7, between 7 and 8 p.m. This is CKLN 88.1 FM in downtown Toronto, Ryerson University.